are you trying to figure out whether it's because I'm about to go on vacation or we're about to preach? A little bit of both. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to title this on the web there, put it on just Day of Pentecost, okay? Day of Pentecost. All right? As you're turning there, I want you to start thinking right now in your mind, as soon as somebody, if you've been in church for any period of time, when I said turn to Acts chapter 2, Day of Pentecost, your mind either goes to two places. We speak in tongues, we don't speak in tongues. Church, God, or Baptist? I go to my corner, you go to your corner. Defend or explain, right? I hate to tell you this, but you're going to leave here tonight and you're not going to be any more the wise on speaking in tongues. I guarantee that. Some of you want to leave right now. These are the things, when God called me to preach, I didn't know it at the time because all I wanted to preach when I got called to preach was the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. I just wanted to see people get saved. I wanted to tell people about Jesus. And the more that I got into this Word, the more that I studied this Word, I found out that there are some messages in here that people will not touch. They won't go around. They won't message them. They won't preach them, even if God nudges them in that area because they're afraid, because they're scared. And I said, God, if you ever give me an opportunity to stand in the pulpit, I want to preach messages that nobody else wants to preach. Because none of this Bible scares me. None of it. It doesn't scare me. I'm a born-again child of God. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. None of this scares me. Everything in this tells me that God's coming back, and you know what? I'm a child of His, and He's going to take care of His child. I'm excited about that. None of this stuff scares me. When I read it, I don't go, oh gosh, I wonder what's going to happen. I totally believe God's in control. I believe He can handle every situation. I think it says like this, is there anything too hard for God? The answer is no. Is there anything impossible with God? No. Amen? Everything's working to the good for those that are believing or called according to His purpose. Is that correct? Okay, well, guess what? Even the worst day of my life is working to the good to God. Amen? I can't understand it, can't explain it, but I know that's true. I want y'all to focus your attention on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before we jump into Acts chapter 2. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When we go into 2, remember we read this in 1. Okay? So we're not blown away what happens in 2, because the whole purpose was we receive power to be witnesses of the gospel or of Jesus Christ. Okay? So the main purpose for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost was to be a witness for Christ. Are y'all ready? Well, I built this thing up. I'm so excited. Let's just jump in there. Amen? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The church would do amazingly. We would blow. I mean, we would have such a great church if we would come in here and get solely focused on the Lord. Now, and not only the Lord, but if we get specific. I noticed a lot of times, if you've ever had the opportunity when the church really gets heartbroken or scared or something like that, and they all come to the altar and pray together, have you ever noticed how powerful that is? Have you ever noticed that it seems like you're scared or you're hurt and you're praying, but it seems like the presence of God is stronger there than it ever has in a long time? Have you ever felt that in your own personal life where you've really gotten hurt or you're really scared or you really don't know what's happening, so then you go to praying to God or seeking God and you can't hardly explain it as a Christian, you can't explain it. You're hurt, you're afraid, whatever the case may be, but you can feel the presence of God and it's like a comfort, you understand? Okay, but now I want you to get this kind of hard. This is a hard thing for church to do. It's a hard thing for us as believers to do. Do that when things are not going wrong. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen? So get that way with God when there is absolutely nothing going wrong. Whoo. Could you imagine if we came in here and we're doing okay and it seems like everything's going all right, or it just seems that way because we understand everything's not always going all right, but if we came in here when we felt good and we still leaned all in one accord and sought the Lord focused. Could you imagine what kind of services we had? Could you imagine what kind of services we had? And then could you imagine what kind of service we would have as a church? We would walk out of here because God, we would have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and we'd be focused. He said, get in the upper room and wait on me. He didn't tell them to get one of mine, one accord and wait on me. I think they just figured it out. If we get up in the upper room, if we're waiting on something that God's going to give us, let's focus on what He wants for us. I believe if the church would get one mind and one accord, if we got in here and we would say, God, what would you want for us? And if we as a church, holy, would do that all the time. God, what would you want for the church? What do you want for us? All of a sudden, I believe everybody in here would start getting a thought and a mind thought of, hey, God wants us to do this. And you know what? And we'd be so significant because we would be doing the one thing that God wants us to do and everybody else around us would be trying to figure out how to do what we're doing. I'm preaching. Y'all don't know it, but I'm preaching to you right now. You know most churches copy other churches and they're doing what they're doing, but they're the ones who got the vision from God and everybody's trying to repeat what they did. The First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist. First Church God, Second Church God, them Church God. We just do what they did because they done what was good. Amen? But if we would get in our mind and seek the Lord, maybe He would tell us to do something that we're good at. Could you imagine if we got to pray and all of a sudden God says, you're really good at this and this could be a ministry point for you. Start doing this and people would come in here and say, how did you do that? Well, we didn't do it because we're smart or we're good at it. We did it because God told us to do it. We did it and it's amazing. Can I tell you that? That's how ministry starts. Is we overcomplicate it. Just get one mind, one accord, lean towards God, pray about it. And you know what? He'll open up doors and do things. And the things that He's not don't want you to do, He'll start closing those doors and you can't do nothing about it either way. Preacher's good preaching. You ever do that? You ever try to be God? You ever try to make things happen? Do all the stuff? Well, if we'd get one mind and one accord and pray on certain things, instead of worrying about them, telling everybody else about them, tell God about them. And wait. Man, write that down. Wait. Wait for an answer. Look, they were up there, one mind, one accord, in one place, and they waited. Could you imagine if they had left without it? All right. Cool. I love it. It's so quiet in here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Man, could you imagine that? You're in there praying, and all of a sudden a mighty rushing wind. Now see, this is why I tell you that I'm not going to preach on some specific, the gift of speaking in tongues and all this stuff. I'm going to talk about an event that happened to show that God was about to enter into the church. And when I say enter into the church, I mean the people of the church, not a building. The Spirit of God is not in this building. It's in us as believers. Amen? They were praying and all of a sudden God entered the room. Wouldn't that be, God. Wouldn't it be good if we just waited on God? Before we sing a song, we wait on Him. Before we tell Him everything in prayer, we wait on Him. Before we preach, we wait on Him. Golly, sometimes I'll be preaching and God would say, boy, if you would slow down, I'd drop something on you. Amen? Y'all ain't seen it yet. Sometimes, man, I'm telling you, God can put something on me and man, it gets weird looking. Amen? Oh, can y'all handle that? I'm serious. Because let me tell you something. When God does something, when God gets in something, it doesn't look like you would expect. What does a mighty rushing wind entering a room look like? What does it feel like? Oh, people might talk about us. There's a burning Holy Ghost wind came through there. I don't know what that's all about. Amen? I don't know what it's all about either, but I want it. Amen? I would rather have the whole community talk about what kind of craziness we got going on down here if God's in it. Amen? Now, if God's in it, I don't care what kind. If they say we're crazy. Guess what? I hate to tell you this, but everybody in the community says we're crazy anyway. Amen? I'd rather it be crazy for God than just crazy because we're crazy. We all got a touch of it. Don't. Amen? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. This event never happens again. I want you to tell you, this never happens again. I know it. I know. I'm bold and brave. I'm just going to stand out there and say, well, this never happens again. The cloven tongues of fire never happens again in the Bible. This is an event that says, I am God. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, now I want to show this to you because why does it never happen again? It never happens again because God is not a pillar of fire and a cloud by day anymore either. Wait a minute. Now God, in the Old Testament, when they come out of Egypt, He was a cloud by day and a fire by night. Is that right? Do y'all know that every time they stopped and they got thirsty, they smote a rock? Y'all know that? Do you know that what come out of that rock? Water. Hey man, ain't that cool? Never mind. Man, I want to see that thing. Hey man, do you know who that rock is? Yes. It's a representation, a type and shadow of Jesus. Somebody said, how do you know that, brother? I'll tell you exactly why I know it. Because when Moses got mad at the children of Israel, he smote the rock and he smote it twice. And God said, from that point on, you will not go in the promised land, because when the real rock comes, Jesus Christ, He'll only be smote once. Amen. Glory! That was worth the price of admission. Amen? God took it so personal. He said, when Jesus comes, He'll only be smitten once, because it once good enough. Amen? And when He dies on that cross, see, a lot of people say, when you lose your salvation, if you can lose your salvation, that means you lose it forever. But if you lose it and gain it back, Jesus, the way you would have to gain your salvation, if you could lose it and gain it back, Jesus would have to come and die on the cross again. And guess what? I hate to tell you this. It ain't happening. Moses stood outside the promised land, looked at it, and said, yeah, it looks good. I wish I could go in. He said, you can't go in because Jesus ain't going to be smoked once. I mean twice, but once. All right, you good? Man, I love this stuff. Whole rock just shows up every time them boys stop. We're thirsty. Good, I'll hit the rock. And you'll be able to drink. And it'll be water that never runs out. It's water in a dry land. Have y'all found Jesus to be water in a dry land? Amen? Guess what? Jesus was also there in the sky, right? Because He fell. He's the bread, manna. God loved manna, don't you? For years, when I was a kid, there was this candy bar they came out with. And the commercial, you know what it's called? It was called Whatchamacallit. Then were the best commercials. Whoever wrote that was the best commercial writer in the history of commercial writers. The whole thing, they go through, Whatchamacallit. I don't know, what do you call it? I don't know, Whatchamacallit. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Whatchamacallit. It was a candy bar called Whatchamacallit, and the name of it, they didn't know. Sweet. Do you know that is exactly what manna is? What is it? Manna means what is it? Amen? What is it? I don't know, what is it? What is it? What? That, get, what is it? What? Manna, what is it? It's that, it's manna. What is it? It's that angel bread. It comes down. It's manna, what is it? Ah! Amen? But see, when Jesus came, He was a lot like the manna. He was gray and corner seed. It was nothing that you would like. Man, they got so tired of that manna. They got tired of it. They said, man, can we not have some quail? Can we not have some meat? About a month in, after they seen the Red Sea, I mean, check this out. I don't even know if it's a month, but after they went to the Red Sea, after the fire by night, cloud by day, all that stuff, one of them goes, man, I wish we'd go back down to Egypt. They got good onions and leeks. I was sitting at the hospital with my dad, and I was sitting outside, and I was young in the faith, and I said something dumb like that. I said, Dad, I said, can you believe those people from those children of Israel? They were so dumb. They said they'd like to go back to Egypt and eat onions. How dumb are they? He looks at me serious as a heart attack. He goes, son, there'll be a day that you'll wish that you could go back and have onions and leeks like they did. A place where it's real easy for you. God, preach, preacher. Hey, man, there's a place where everything comes easy to you. You know, you're in total bondage. You're in slavery. Yet things are miserable, but some things are real easy. Your flesh is getting fed. Amen? God. Some people, all they do is remember the good parts of their sin sometimes. See, the devil will come along and remember. He'll make it when your flesh felt good. He'll make it remember when your flesh felt good. But he don't remind you of the bondage or the slavery. And sometimes, God, Melissa, help me preach. Amen. Listen, hey, every once in a while, the devil will come by and say, remember when you did this? Remember when you felt this way? Remember that, this? Remember this? Remember that? And say, yeah, I remember all that, but do I also remember this? Amen. See, you can dwell on the good of Egypt. I'm a baller. shock collar, 20-inch rims on my Impala. I don't have an Impala. I don't even know what one is. Amen. I'm just telling you, you can remember the good things, but you can't remember that you were in jail. You got caught. You got run in by everybody. Your friends forsook you. You died. Amen. So, on the... Somebody said, I can't believe preacher's in here rapping. Don't worry. You good? All that stuff. And all the haunted onions and leeks. Amen? No. Remember that God was good. See, God was in the heaven. Okay, so he showed himself. Then he showed himself as Jesus in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? Remember? He shows up and he walks with them. And he does miracles, big things. Showing them. Those miracles, were they to show that he was God? Yes, absolutely. So you got God the Father, then you got God, the Savior, Jesus, who walked with them and done miracles. He done 150 some odd miracles just to show them that he was God. Those miracles didn't save anybody. Somebody said, I need God to show me a miracle before I believe in him. Well, you probably won't ever believe in him. Because the greatest miracles that God done got him in more trouble every time. Amen? Every time he worked a miracle, they said, oh, we should surely get rid of him now. Do you know why? Do you know why they had to kill him? I'll figure this out. It took me a long time to figure out this. Because people that are religious, they've got a self-pride. They've got stuff built up inside of them. And they like glory. And see, Jesus has glory. And see, Jesus won't relinquish or share his glory. And neither will a real religious person. So you got to do two things. Somebody's got to die. Amen? And it's usually Jesus who has to die. Amen? So Jesus came and he showed himself to be God. And he also, and then, you know what? Guess what? Today, Jesus is no longer walking with us in the flesh. But he's still Jesus. Amen. Are you okay with that? God's not doing the fire by night and the cloud by day. He's not dropping manna every day. He's not producing water out of the rock. Jesus is not walking with us. But guess what? The day of Pentecost came. And guess what? Every person spoke. These cloven tongues of fire sat down. I would love to see what that looks like. I have a feeling that it looks a lot like a burning bush that doesn't burn up. But it sets down on each one of them. 100. Listen, I want you to get this in your mind. You better write this down. Don't take away a lot of the ooh and ah stuff when you leave here. Take some knowledge with you. Take this right here. The church started with 120 people. Every time you start hearing, oh, you know, we can't do nothing. We need more people. We need this. The whole New Testament church started with 120 people. That thing grew, didn't it? And can I tell you what it grew through? Prosperity. Money, money, money. No, stag on it. No, persecution. Sorry. Wrong word. Persecution. The church grew through persecution. The more you persecute Jesus, the more you persecute the church, the further and the faster it grows. Amen? I'm telling you, the church don't grow through prosperity. It gets smaller. Don't preach that in here, Mark. Somebody's going to get in trouble. You know what happens if you get real prosperous? You get lazy. You know what you do? You get in here and you all of a sudden you make this thing about a club or family. Hey, we're just one good big old family. We love you. Love you too, brother. Love you. God bless you. Love you. Love you too. And then until you get cabin fever. You ever get cabin fever in a church? You know what happens when if you keep kids in a church, in a house too long? You ever had it snow somewhere and you're thinking, man, look at the snow. It's beautiful, right? Make snow cream, have a snowball fight, that thing rocks on about 3 or 4 days. You don't go to school. Guess what happens about third, fourth day? Stop hitting me. You get your hands off me. I hate your guts. Amen? You all right? That's what happens, right? You know what's happened in the church. Amen? That's what's happened in the church. We've been in the church so long and we ain't gone out and done what we're supposed to do. All of a sudden we're fighting. We're infighting because we've been here so long. We start nitpicking each other apart. I don't like the way she does this. I don't like the way... You know why you don't like the way she does it? Because she does it just like you and you don't like you and you don't like her either. Bam! Well, I don't like him. He ain't got on. You think your worst enemy's in here? That's not. It's out there. His name's the devil. Amen? That's what happens. You start getting stagnant and cold. You start talking about, well, we do this, the church is doing this, nothing, this, nothing. Hey, man, let me tell you something. You get enough people in here, this church's got to grow. We got to put carpet down. We got to do this. We got to do that. Because guess what? We're going to have to house them. Amen? All right, we're good. So the Holy Spirit comes down, and he's just showing himself God. How's he showing himself God? And they filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised, check this out, abroad the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in their own language. Now see, this is what I'm talking about. Somebody, when I said this a few minutes ago, I seen a couple people like this, with this kind of look like, what do you mean that's a one-time event? It's a one-time event because I have never been or never heard of a service where people were speaking in tongues where everybody in the audience could understand what they were saying in their own language. Amen? Are you good now? See, this is a one-time event. God showing that He has control over every man's tongue and every man's ear. What He's saying is, don't worry about who I send you to. When I send you, you will be a witness for Me. And He's showing Himself God because when they stepped out there, let me give you the list, okay? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, this is verse 7, one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Okay, you good? Check this out. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergius, that hurt one, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, were to hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. You ever heard anything like that happening since? Okay, so you can hang with me right here. We ain't going to leave here tonight. Everybody going to be, well, I know I'm speaking on tongues. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You're going to leave here tonight and say, God showed up on the day of Pentecost and He gave them the ability to witness to everybody that was there, to show Himself God in control of every man's tongue and every man's ear, and showing that the church would now be a witness for Him despite whether they would be killed, rejected, live, or die, they would go. And if you're a born-again believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit here tonight, guess what? You will go because you can't help but go because you have received God inside of you. Somebody said, well, we're different because we did this. We're different. No, you're not. Amen? If you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you'll be a witness. If you haven't, you will not. He said, if you do not have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, you are none of Mine. Amen? You'll quit. Now, this is a test. This right here will hit you right between the run lights if you let it. If you're all the time talking about quitting on God and giving up on God and quitting on this, you better check up and see if you got God or not. Because once you receive the Holy Spirit of God, the only thing that's going to make you stop is if somebody cut your head off. Amen? That's it. Or you die. Amen? Nothing else will make you stop. You'll feel like stopping. Preach, brother. You'll say you're going to stop. You won't stop. You know how many times I've quit? There's some mean people out there in church. Mean. I ain't gonna lie to you. Some of y'all need to hear this. There are some mean, sharp-tongued bandits walking around church. I mean, and they know how to cut you to the core, and a lot of times they'll do it with a smile. Hey, brother, come here. I'm about to cut your heart out. Amen? And you're standing and you're thinking, man, this man is cutting my heart out, and everybody thinks they're probably standing here talking about the Lord. Oh, I wish I had about four people who had some experience in the church. Amen? Get in the car and say, I'm done. I'm done with this. And God says, no, you're not. God where? God in me. Amen? God in me. You ain't done. That ain't me. You know that ain't me. That's a person. That ain't me. I don't hurt you. Amen? When I hurt you, you know I hurt you. Amen? I hurt you because you've done something wrong or you've offended the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's a whole different hurt, ain't it? Oh, gosh. We'll talk about that some other time. Y'all good? Ain't this fun? Man, it's Wednesday night. I love this stuff. Never mind. I ain't going to say that. It's just fun. Amen? But every one of them left there. What said wonderful works of who? What do we read in 1:8? That you would be a witness about Me. See, the Holy Spirit of God is not about speaking in tongues. It's not being special. Oh, we're special because we do this. No, it's about witnessing for Jesus Christ about the gospel. That's it. That's what the whole purpose is for. He didn't put it in you for you to walk around and say, I'm something special, I'm something different than you are. He put it in you where you can have God in you and walk around and witness to everybody that's lost and dying. That's it. We make it out to be more than it is. We separate. See, the church, as far as denominations go, are divided because we allow the devil to get in and divide us on stuff that really don't even matter. Do you believe in the gospel? Yeah. Okay. I do too. Let's go do this. Well, we can't because I don't believe in this part that you believe in. Wow. That's scary. It didn't take but one little thing for us to diverge into two different parts. Yeah. Have you ever noticed this? You ride down the road, most churches are all about the same size. Church of God, Pentecostal church, and every one of them are about the same size. And they're all about 3 miles from each other. Baptist, same way. Ride down the road, another about a mile, 4 miles. Guess what? Little Baptist church, ride down the road, little Baptist church. Methodist, same way. Why? Because guess what? We can't agree on this. Let's just part both ways. Amen? Yeah. Golly, that hurts, don't it? Man, what we need to do is get one focus, amen, of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Let Him lead us and guide us and direct us and not let Him do anything outside of that. Y'all good? All right. Verse 12. And they were all amazed. I love this part. It's fun. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They didn't know what to do. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. That's my favorite part. I know, we're in church. It's terrible, ain't it? You know what they said? These guys are drunk. God, if you get real drunk, you just start speaking German. Or Chinese, or Mandarin. Huh? I know, some of you don't like to have fun. You're fighting a smile. It's all right, fight it! Fight that smile back. Hurt yourself, amen? Boys, I mean, you can't be serious all the time. They're all sitting out there, and these people are preaching, and the first thing they come up with is, these guys are drunk. There ain't no way they can speak my language about Jesus. They got it. So, see, don't be surprised. You need to write this down and remember it. Just because people hear and see God in you don't always mean they're going to jump on board with you. They're going to criticize you and call you names. If you can't handle a name calling, amen, this church thing's going to hurt. Amen? Amen? So, you need to get used to it. Especially in the world. Because they can say all kinds of things. If they did it about Jesus, they're going to do it about you. Amen. You know what they called him? It's a good one. You are Satan. He said, you cast out devils, which don't make any sense. Usually their stuff don't make no sense. You cast out devils because you're the king of devils. Jesus looked at him and said, you don't make any sense. He said, why in the world, if I was the devil, why would I get rid of a devil? God, can I break that down for you? Check this out. The devil would never get a devil out of you because he wouldn't ever give you 1 minute of peace, joy, or happiness. If he got a devil in you, he'd leave him in you and let you deal with it. Amen? Somebody, y'all need to say amen every once in a while. If some of y'all that ever had the devil reigning in your life, he don't ever let up. The only one ever comes in and gives you any peace is God. you cast that devil because you're king. He goes, listen, the devil's not divided. His house is not divided. It's us that are divided. Woo-hoo! Ain't that cool? But Peter, I love this. He tells me he's not been drinking. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. Yes! I know, don't have fun. I love this. He's like, it's only been like 3 hours since we've been awake. There's no way we're all drunk. God, you can't preach that. God. I read it. I didn't make that up. Hey man, some of y'all are looking at me right now. Yeah, I don't care. I'm just telling you. Peter gave him a good explanation. We're not morning drinking. Okay, the apostles and disciples didn't drink. Okay, are you okay? I'm good with that. But he gave him a good explanation. Ain't that funny? That's good. Y'all go home. That's all you're gonna talk about all night. Preachers, they say we wouldn't drink at 3 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock. All right, you good? For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is, oh gosh. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Golly, God's been waiting for this day for a long time. Amen? Listen what happens in the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. For your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in the last days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, the signs and the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Amen. Listen, why is it important that God put the Holy Spirit of God in us, that we be prophesy and that we witness? Is because there's going to be a day when the whole universe is just going to fall apart. Golly, do you know there's going to be a day when the sun's not going to shine? That the stars will fall out of the universe. God said He will roll this thing up like a scroll. You sit here and wonder one time, why God do this? Why God do this? God put the Holy Spirit in you to tell other people that this day is coming. You better get ready. Amen. You better get ready. I thought about not preaching this, but you know what? I had the great opportunity to go to a funeral yesterday. And this put me in perspective. Because I see people. You better be glad you're sitting here. But now that you are, you should want to tell more people about Jesus. Amen. You better have a strategy. You better have a way about you that you can infiltrate and get into people's life with the gospel. Amen. Do you have one? Do you have a sphere of influence? Work on it. Work on it. Amen. I do. I let people get in my sphere of influence. I let them step in. If they get in my circle, I'm like, okay. And I let them say something. Okay, they said something. Now I get to say something. Amen? Amen. Now if they get to curse, now I get to say something about Jesus. Amen? I'll tell you about the man over in Athens one morning. I was going over there, and I stopped at the gas pump, and the man was on the gas pump. He's over there. Blankety blank this. I said, in the name of Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. I'm going to sit back over there. He goes. He sat over there and he hauled around and comes back around and goes, I'm sorry, brother. I said, well, what are you sorry about? He said, I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. I said, I know. I said, but when you said that, I had to say what I wanted to say. I think it was fair. If you get to curse, I can say something about Jesus. He said, I need to get back in church. I said, it'd be good. It'd be good if you did. I said, it'd be even better if you get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, when little things like this happen, if something messes up, you won't have to pitch a fit. You can just talk to the Lord about it. Amen. He said, you know what he said? I ain't kidding you. Now, I'm not always like that. Sometimes I'll let it just flow. I'll let the relationship flow. I'll let it go, and then they think, no, I'm in there. Amen? I'm full-blown on. I'm talking the gospel to somebody. But in this case right here, God said, he cursed, I can jump all the way in there. Hey, if the devil's going to try to steal some of my little property, I'm going to take some of his back. Amen? You need to start thinking about that. If somebody's going to go full-blown on their side, I'm going to go full-blown on mine. You know what he did before he left there? I ain't kidding you. I kid you not. He turned around and said, I'm so glad I stopped here this morning. I said, man, I thought I offended an old boy. God puts you in places. He puts you around people. And every situation is different. That's why you do have the Holy Spirit. You can read and write. I want to go back. I want you to really see this the way it is. Remember, there was a woman who came to the well. Remember her? Jesus didn't engage. He didn't say, hey, I know your five husbands. I know every one of them. And you're living with a man. He didn't do that, did he? He let her get engaged with him. He engaged her. She knew that he cared about her. And when he did spring on her, that he knew her life, she was accepting of who he was. Glory! That's how you love people. That's how you talk to people. Amen? You got to get invested with people. That's our problem. We don't want to invest with people. Y'all good? What's this right here? Verse 21. It shall come to pass. I love this. This is where we're going to end right here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ain't that cool that that's in Acts chapter 2? When most people get so caught up and speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost, that right there, that God says, I'm gonna send a witness through you that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You receive the Holy Spirit for one reason only, to be a witness for God. Amen. And He's got control of everything. He's God. Some of you are going to say, well, when I come back, I'm going to get into more of this. We'll preach some more in the book of Acts. Can this get you in trouble? Oh, yeah. Big trouble. But every time you get in trouble, I want you to know this. God puts you in that trouble. And He's going to work through that trouble to get His gospel worked out. I think somewhere we might go next is, remember when Paul and Silas, they got sent over there to Macedonia. Remember? They went over there. Remember when he first got there? And he was walking around, a little demonic girl got behind him and was making fun of him and stuff. Y'all remember that? Paul turned around real quick and said, get out of her. He cast the devil out of her. Right? Poop, get out of there. You know, but the only problem was that devil that was in her was making everybody in the town a lot of money. Hello? Never mind. See, the devil will fight you like crazy. See, if some people get saved, that puts the devil out of business in some areas. Amen. See, if a drug addict gets saved, guess what? Somebody's going to be upset because somebody was dependent on them. Hello? Yeah. Amen? Pornography, alcoholic. Somebody's dependent on them because they're so hooked up in the devil that somebody's dependent on them to be there all the time. They never expect them to get out. That's why stuff like this gets said. They'll never get saved. They'll never change. Yeah, they will. If God gets them, they will. Amen? I know they will. Hello, amen. Well, guess what? They hauled Paul and Silas off to jail. You know what? I guarantee they were thinking, man, we keep helping people and we keep getting in more trouble. Amen? But God was saying this, you keep getting in more trouble because help me preach right here. Hey, the more trouble you get into, the more people that are there in that trouble. I hate to tell you this, but God will put you in some pretty scary places. If He hadn't already, hey, some of you in here right now wonder what I'm talking about, but guess what? Why don't you do something amazing? What I told you in the very first, get one mind and one accord on something. God, use me to the fullest capacity that you don't want to use me in my life. Not what I want, Lord, what you want. And God will start opening the doors to things that will scare you to death. And the only way you'll be able to stand there is because God's got you standing there. I remember the first time I went to the prison. I was a young preacher and I was on fire and I'm going to go. And I went to Brushy Mountain State Prison. And I didn't realize nobody wants to go to Brushy. Grown criminals. I'm talking about hard-hearted, meanest in the state of Tennessee. They would come up to a place on the interstate where it either went left or right. If it went left, you were going to Nashville. If it goes right, you're going to Brushy. And guess what? Them men, they wouldn't tell them. And they'd start turning right. And I'm talking about murderers would crawl up like babies and say, not Brushy! Yes, that's the first state penitentiary I ever went into. I was walking, I'm standing, I'm like, man, I can't wait to preach, I can't wait. And all of a sudden, they open these doors, and about 300 inmates come walking down this hallway, and it was just me. I just turned to the side, and the rest of the group had went in a room. And I was just standing in the hallway. Nobody told me this or that and other. And they were coming from their wreck or whatever they were doing. And it was, whoo, whoo, and I was like, there, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. Good. I'm sitting there going, God, somebody's going to stab me or something. And I'm standing there going, God, these are going to be the kind of men I minister to the rest of my life, ain't it? He goes, oh, yeah. Just stand here. Get a look at them. And by about halfway through, you know what I come to the conclusion of? There I go. Except for the Lord. Amen. If the Lord hadn't got in my life, I could be right here. Ain't nothing different about these men other than opportunity and situation and getting caught. And man, did that make for a good service for me. Guys, you want to have a great, great life. You want to be filled to the maximum with the Holy Spirit of God. surrender your whole life to Him. And say, God, use me the way You want to use me. No limitations. No this or that or the other. I'll go and do what You want me to do. And you know what? A lot of your life, a lot of the struggles you're having, a lot of the trouble you have, it'll disappear. You know why? Because you won't be doing it anymore. It'll be all God. Let's all stand as they come get a song. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. This is a big message, guys. It's a big message. I know it is. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've thought about a million times, God, what do You want me to do? Well, the first step in finding out what God wants you to do.